You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Today, Amelia chats to the Green Party co-leader about his announcement of a $140 million subsidy to NZ Steel to transition away from burning coal, as well as a reflection on last week's budget and the Green Party candidate list ahead of the general election in October this year. Here's that piece now.
On Sunday, you announced a $140 million subsidy for NZ Steel to transition away from burning coal. How significant is this deal, and what effect will it have on our emissions?
Look, it's a massive deal. It's the biggest decarbonisation project in the history of New Zealand. And so that's awesome. What it does is it cuts the pollution that's coming out of the steel mill in half. That's 800,000 tonnes of CO2 that won't be going into the atmosphere every year once the plant's up and running. That's the equivalent of 300,000 cars or every car in Christchurch. So in that sense, it's massive, and it makes it, you know, it gets us sort of pointed in the right direction when it comes to our sort of 2030 and 2050 targets.
And there has been the idea swirling around that taxpayers are the ones footing the bill to subsidise this polluter. Is this true?
No, it's not. That's incorrect. So the money comes out of the revenue that we get through the emissions trading scheme. So actually, it's paid for by polluters themselves, which I think is pretty good, you know, that you've essentially got polluters paying for other polluters to decarbonise.
NZ Steel says that they wouldn't have installed an electric arc furnace without money from the government, even though the $140 million you gave them is equivalent to only about 5% of their yearly earnings. How is this not, as the National Party called it, corporate welfare?
Well, that 5% of earnings figure is their global numbers. They kind of treat the company in New Zealand, you know, New Zealand Steel has to be profitable in its own right, and it was only a few years ago that they were talking about shutting it down because it was underwater at that stage. And so the size of this plant, it's, you know, $300 million, which is considerable for the New Zealand Steel company to have invested in. They couldn't make that work and keep it profitable. And so if we hadn't gotten involved in this, then I guess one of two things would have happened, one of which was that they would have continued their operations using coal, and that would have meant, you know, the current level of pollution would have continued for at least 10 years. And then the second thing is, I guess, long term, there's then a question about the viability of the operation in New Zealand, because, of course, as the carbon price increases, the price of coal gets higher and so on.
I guess the big concern that people have is really that companies like NZ Steel should be legislatively required to do something like this without the help of the government. How do you respond to these concerns?
Well, like I said, this was only possible because of the reforms that we made to the emissions trading scheme in our first term in government. That then generated sufficient revenue that we could recycle into decarbonisation projects. So I would say it's actually only because the government took action through the Zero Carbon Act and the emissions trading scheme reforms that they're doing anything at all. Otherwise, they would just continue churning out the kind of high-polluting coal-based steel that they've been doing so far.
Do you expect other big polluters to see this and try to get a slice of the pie? You know, can we expect more decarbonisation funding to other industries?
Well, I hope so. I think, you know, what we've signalled here is that given that we do have this pot of money that's paid for by polluters themselves, we do want to work with our largest polluters in the country to decarbonise as fast as we can. And the vast majority of New Zealanders tell us they're really concerned about climate change and they want the government to do more. So this helps us to speed up the rate at which we decarbonise the economy.
Moving on now, we had Budget Day last week. We saw $1.5 billion allocated to cutting greenhouse gases. Did the budget deliver for the climate in your view?
Well, you know, it won't surprise you to learn that I thought that the government could have gone a lot further and a lot faster than it did. There was a considerable diversion of resources into the cyclone recovery. And that's one of the great ironies, is that the more frequent storms and fires and droughts and floods that we are having as a result of climate change, actually make it harder for us to get ahead of the problem because we're stuck in responding to these crises. So, you know, I'm making the argument at this election that with more Green MPs in Parliament and more Green ministers sitting on the Cabinet table, that we'll be able to prioritise climate action and the response to the effects of climate change more than we have been.
So if you were in charge, if this was a Green budget, what would you have liked to have seen prioritised?
Well, broadly speaking, you know, further efforts on decarbonisation, particularly on making it easier for individual households to kind of participate. So, you know, I'll give you an example. We know that solar energy is the cheapest form of energy ever created by the human race. So, the, you know, helping people to put solar panels on the roofs and to switch over, you know, if you've got like gas hot water or gas hob or things like that, which are based on fossil fuels and are getting more expensive to run over time, that would both help to decarbonise the economy, it would help to lower household bills, and it would also make us more resilient in the face of the kind of storms that we've got, because when the power lines get knocked down, those houses have their own source of power. So those kinds of initiatives, I think, are where we need to get to next in the fight against climate change.
And finally, the Green Party list was released a few days back. Are you happy with how things have turned out after it went to party members?
Yeah, I'm delighted. I think our members have given us a great list of really interesting, diverse, hardworking and talented candidates. And I'm really pleased with that. I think there are some, you know, you've got our kind of existing and experienced MPs who are returning, and then there's some really great people who are coming forward as well.
Do you think this list will give the Greens the boost that it needs this election?
I think it's part of it. I mean, we have to, you know, it is about having really good people, and we need to make sure that voters see that we have got a really talented lineup and that we'll make a really good contribution to Parliament and to the next government. But also, we do need to set out our stall in terms of ensuring that we are delivering on what it is that we're here to do, which is around, you know, much stronger, much more urgent scale climate action, protecting our Indigenous wildlife and wildernesses, what remains of those, and to ending poverty in Aotearoa, which frankly no one but the Greens is committed to doing.
That was Amelia Sullivan speaking to Green Party co-leader James Shaw.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party.
The Wire.